Welcome to Barron Talks. I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, the Chancellor of Penn State Barron, and today I have a very special guest, Dr. Mary Ellen Madigan, our Senior Director of Enrollment Management. Welcome here, Mary Ellen.
Thank you, Ralph.
Mary Ellen, I'm just going to give our listening audience a little bit of background on you. You have oversee all of our admissions, retention, and financial aid processes here at Barron, and you are a member of our Senior Leadership Team. You've worked here since 1987, starting out as a financial aid counselor and then in a series of admissions and enrollment roles. But very importantly, you have led our admissions and financial aid teams since 1992. You hold a PhD in higher education administration from the University of Nebraska. You have a master's from Edinburgh University and a bachelor's in psychology from Virginia Polytech State University. Again, welcome here. I'd like to start out, Mary Ellen, tell us a bit, how did you end up here at Barron?
Well, I ended up working in higher education completely by accident. It was not part of the plan. I was working in banking and relocated. This was probably in the early to mid 80s. The economy had tanked. There were no jobs in banking, so I decided to stop out of the workforce for a little bit, get my MBA. Went and talked to several schools, and at one of my interviews, the director said, "We have a position open, and I think you'd be perfect for it. And after a few months, we'll cover your tuition for your MBA." So I jumped on the opportunity, never did get my MBA, but got a master's in counseling instead, because that experience changed my whole career path. Decided I found my passion, and that's what I wanted to do.
So you didn't miss your banking career?
No, not at all.
Not that it's not a noble career, but you know, you have an undergraduate degree in psychology, and that's a very versatile degree. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about how you know, because you advise students on careers. How did that one prepare you for this job?
Well, it was kind of interesting how I ended up in psychology. I started in engineering, discovered as soon as I hit statics and dynamics that I had a big deficiency in spatial analysis, and it kind of made some sense. I had trouble when I was learning to drive. I probably drove my parents crazy. But then I got really interested in the why. Mm-hmm. Why was that an issue with me? Why did I have trouble with spatial analysis? And I met a faculty member who was doing research on spatial analysis. I had taken Intro to Psych as a Gen Ed course and met her and started working with her in undergraduate research. And but the rest is history. Decided that I liked it. I like people. I like watching people, observing people, trying to understand what makes people tick. And it just kind of helped me, you know, wind through what my career path has been.
You know, in psychology, there's that wonderful connection, of course, between human, but also that strong research base that goes with it as well. That you refer to. And, you know, I don't want to go too far off subject here, but we continue to struggle with that spatial analysis ability of students in general. And there's been a lot of research done here at Barron, and it's part of our admissions and intake process for engineering students, is it not?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So let's go back, though, 1987. Barron was a pretty different place at that time. What was the campus like when you started?
So it was basically the academic area was basically one sidewalk that went basically stretched from the Reed Union Building down to what was then Science, Engineering, and Technology. A lot of our faculty had their offices in little trailers spattered around the campus. Everybody knew everybody. I knew all the faculty. Most of our students came here only for 2 years and then transitioned on to University Park. I think I came at the time when we were just starting to turn a corner on what I like to say becoming a really grown-up college mm-hmm. of the university. There were some really strong student leaders who had decided to stay all 4 years. And I think there were a number of other students who kind of followed their lead, and we really started to see a change in students looking at us as a place to do the 2+2. Instead, they were looking at us as a four-year institution.
And that is the differentiating factor that we have here at Barron. We are a destination. We have bachelor's programs. We have master's programs. So it was the students who drove that, but what else was happening at that time that made us switch from, frankly, most of the students going to University Park to most staying here?
Well, the other thing that was happening at the just about the same time is we were adding a lot of academic programs. When I came, we basically had two divisions. We had the division of business and humanities, and we had the division of science, engineering, and technology. And those all got split apart. We changed into four different schools, increased the number of academic offerings a lot, added new majors, added minors, lots of opportunities for students, our endowment was increasing, so we were able to offer scholarships to students. So there were just a lot of things late in the 80s, early in the 90s that really changed the trajectory of the college.
And it's not only the programs, which are, of course, important, the faculty, the students, but it's also the buildings and the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You look around now, we've got the Metzger Alumni and Admission Center, which is your home, Cockle Center, the Junker Athletic Center, the Burke Center. I could go on and on. That's important, though, too, in terms of attracting students, is it not?
It is. And the other piece that has really changed, I think, the complexion of the college is when I came, we had three traditional residence halls, and the on-campus apartments had just opened. So our housing for first-year students used to fill in December. So if students didn't apply basically on day one, get admitted right away, make their decision to come, they had to live off campus, which was not the best option for many of those students. So as we added more on-campus housing, really became, again, a residential college destination for students to come and spend all 4 years.
Yeah, and then we added, we've got Tripp Hall and Almy in Ohio, which were honors halls. They also seem to be game changers.
Absolutely. Yeah, the housing, along with the changes in the academic space, I liken it to that student who goes from elementary school to the junior high or the high school. You know, all of a sudden they're in this one little classroom all day long, and then they've got a whole building and lots of different opportunities and options.
And the building you're in now, you weren't always there. Where I'm sitting here right now is in the Glen Hill Farmhouse, which many of our alumni and graduates know, and I'm in the memorial room. It's a beautiful space, but you were upstairs. Admissions was upstairs in this building, and for those who might recall, you had to go up this little narrow set of stairs to get there. Those days are long in the past, and you're in this beautiful building, the Metzger Alumni and Admissions Center. We'll just call it Metzger Center from now on. How important has that been in terms of the student experience, the parents and the families that come here?
That was a game changer. This building was hard to find for families who came in at our visitor parking. They had to walk a ways for the visitor parking. Not accessible to students with disabilities. If somebody was student or parent was in a wheelchair, we'd have to meet them in another building. I always joked with the basketball coaches who would bring prospective students in that were usually very tall. And we have these little slanted hallways up on the second floor. And, you always knew that there was somebody really good when they could barely make it down the hallway because of their height. But the Metzger Center really has, it's the front door of the college. It's impressive. It's all the glass, and we overlook the baseball and softball fields, and we've got this beautiful fireplace, and it just really is a very welcoming environment for students, prospective students and their families to come visit us.
Oh, it is stunning. Well, when you look at the students that you interact with today, what's different about them? And I know we often think about that, or their attitudes or what they're looking for. How's that different today than, say, 20 years ago?
They're probably more alike than they are different.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that really just have not changed. They, of course, are much more tech savvy. It was unusual to, when I first came, to have a student who had any experience working with computers while they were in high school. One of our majors that was very big was management information systems. And that attracted a lot of students who did have at least an interest in technology. So that's probably the biggest change. The students and parents, again, I think they're more alike than they are different.
Mm-hmm. What are they looking for? So the students and parents often come here together. You know, what are the messages? What are they looking for in that experience?
I always say that choosing a college, it's partly a decision of the head, a decision of the heart, and a decision of the gut. So, you know, they're looking for specific academic programs often, or they're looking for specific location. I don't want to be this far from home, or I want to be at least this far from home. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the head part. You know, does the school have the features that I know I'm looking for? The heart and the gut part are, does it feel right to me? And I think for me, I have always said that choosing a college is so much about fit. Students have to feel like this is a place that they can call home. When I'm talking with students and their parents, I often say, I mean, you wouldn't pick up and move to a new town, move to a new house, sight unseen,
mm-hmm.
you know, without knowing that it's the right place for you. You know a community when you feel it. You know the right community when you feel it.
How many of them have that aha moment? I think we hear that a lot. They come to campus and they immediately know it's right for them. Is that true? Is that what the experience is like?
It really is. And of course, on the flip side, every now and then we get a student who, and they're often very upfront with us that when they drove into the parking lot, it just wasn't, it wasn't what they were looking for. And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want the students to find that place where they're happy. But there are a number of students that the campus was very different than they were expecting in a really positive way, much bigger than they were expecting. A lot of times our students who come from outside of the area may be familiar with some of our smaller Penn State campuses and are kind of expecting the same kind of environment. So they're pleasantly surprised. When they come back from the campus tour, a lot of times there's a completely different look on the student's face. You know when they've just made the connection and they know it's the right place for them.
Yeah, it's so common, and you know, we all say this, you have to see Penn State Barron to believe it. It's just a great campus infrastructure. You know, we can all speak to our own personal experience. I moved across the country to be here, and I'm, you know, I can remember vividly seeing the campus and the facilities and understanding, and then, okay, I got it. I want to be at that place. And like you say, we see that all the time. I'd like to switch to the, you know, the current situation. So to mark the date, you know, it's March 26, 2021, and we're in the pandemic, but we're in a interesting year again. Every year seems to be different in the admissions world, but this year is really different. ACTs and SATs being dropped by universities, at least for this year. There's the Common App, people's, you know, their appetite for applying for financial aid is different. Families are under stress, a lot of serious things going on. So I just threw a lot out there. Could you just give us, you know, what's your perspective? What's happening this year?
So a year ago, when everything kind of locked down and we went remote, we were very clear what we had to do, and we had to move fast. We had a major visitation program planned, and we pivoted that to a virtual space. It was very successful. So I felt really terrible for the students who were seniors last year. I mean, they missed their graduation, they missed their prom, all of those kind of things. But the students who are seniors this year basically missed the entire college search timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So usually students start looking March, April of their senior year. They make their short list of colleges where they want to go visit in the summer. None of that happened. So, you know, they really have had to make some tough decisions based on what they're seeing through a computer screen,
mm-hmm.
what they're seeing on a website, what they're seeing maybe in a college brochure, if they were able to get their hands on those that we've mailed out. So it's been really challenging. They haven't met other students who will be their classmates to find somebody that they want to room with. And all of those are big benchmarks. So, you know, we're finding the students that are starting in fall of 21 are lagging behind a little bit in, they were lagging behind in their kind of time when they would apply for admission, in making that final decision. All of that's just a little bit behind. And again, as you mentioned, there's a lot of stress on the families. A lot of parents have lost jobs, or if they're small business owners, their income has been decreased substantially. So there's a lot of challenge for these students. But I also see that they are really, they're very forward-looking. I think they're really looking forward to next fall, because I think there's so much hope out there that we will reach some kind of level of normalcy, which, quite frankly, they haven't had since halfway through their junior year of high school.
We do seem to be hearing, I mean, and you hate to generalize, but most people are really excited about the return to campus experience that, that we're planning for this fall.
Exactly. And we recently started visits back to campus with a lot of, with a long list of protocols that we have to follow for students and their families. And it's been wonderful having the students back on campus, having them tour the campus with our student tour guides, meet with ambassadors from all of our academic schools. I know my staff and I just feel like life kind of is righted itself again. You know, we get to sit and meet with families and hear about their hopes and dreams and help them decide whether Barron's the right place for them. And so there's a lot of smiles over the Metzger Center these days.
Well, I will say all of us love to see the tour groups going around campus and just listening on the conversations. Well, let's switch to the financial aid part and you know, affording, you know, the cost of college and families needing to look carefully at that. So you and your team work a lot, of course, directly. You've recently, you know, at this point in the year, I think you've sent out a lot of offers and financial aid information and scholarships. And it can be confusing. A lot of different ways that it's presented at different universities. That's not a criticism. You know, we're different than others. So what advice do you give to families when you sit down with them and you really look at the finances and what's it going to cost and is this worth coming here?
Well, I mean, we certainly go over the numbers so they're clear and they have clear expectations on what that student bill is going to look like when that's generated in the fall. And I think the other piece that we talk a lot about is the return on investment. It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. College is expensive. Each year, the gap seems to get bigger and bigger and a little bit more challenging for families to find the resources to fill in the gap between what a student's financial aid or scholarships may cover and what the family has to cover. But as we show the families what students can expect to earn and how well students at Penn State Barron do after they graduate and move into the workforce, that it's an investment. You know, unlike when you buy a car, a few years later, you sell it to somebody else and it's not worth much. College is an investment, very much like a home, that mm-hmm. the value continues to increase. And so we really need to make sure that the students understand that they're investing in their future. And a lot of students have student loans, but they also, because of their degrees from Penn State Barron, they end up with incomes that they're able to pay those student loans.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we're very cognizant of when we look at new degrees that we may want to offer. We work closely with your office. It is about offering that college experience, a university education, which is very broad, from including liberal arts and humanities, but there's often, you know, this part that people, they have to do something after they get their degree. They have to find gainful employment, and that's important, and we just, you know, we stress that all the time, but we have a good story to tell there.
We absolutely do.
Yeah, and it's driven by the quality of the education, the programs, everything else. I could go on and on. I just wanted to go back for a minute about that, the visitation and how it's working this year. I do think it's fundamentally changed, though, due to the pandemic. You are finding it's very effective to talk to students around the country, and they're comfortable in having those initial visits virtually in a way they didn't before.
They are. And not just, we not only talk to students from around the country, but from around the globe. We have, interestingly, when we had our open houses, we had a number of international students who came. And in the past, they would not have had that opportunity. So it's going to be very interesting as we move forward to see how much of what we've learned through this pandemic in delivering information and making connections globally and nationally, how much of that we keep, because it does provide lots of opportunities for a virtual visit, for making a connection, gathering information. But what we didn't have was, again, that gut check.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say the boots on the ground, walking the campus, making sure it really feels like the right place for them. But all in all, I think the experience, I would not want to go back and say and not have this experience. I tend to be a person who looks for the silver linings mm-hmm. and things. And I do see a lot of things that we've learned. It was forced creativity. It was forced innovation. And sometimes those kind of pushes end up being really, really positive in the long run.
Well, I mean, these are important life lessons too. And the reality is we grow and learn a lot from the most painful experiences. And that's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And that's what happens. And the fortunate part is we tend to forget the pain that we went through. And we often remember the good stuff. So that's
right.
The benefit of this. Now, I wanted to, talk about, you're in a really unique position. You get to work with the students before they come here. You get to welcome them to campus. And you're part of the commencement ceremony, and you get to say their names at graduation and see how successful they are. So you really do have a unique vantage point about what makes a student successful, how they succeed here. So what's your advice in that regard? When you talk to students, you know, what are the things that make them successful in college, at Barand?
Well, one of the things that I talk to with every single student that I meet with, I have a standard question that I ask each one of them. And this is after we've talked about the major and the features of the campus and things like that. But my question always is, do you use a planner?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be on your phone, whether it's a paper planner, a big wall calendar. And if I get the answer no, I give them some homework to do. And that homework, whether it's for their senior year or, you know, if it's this time and I'm talking to seniors, okay, you have one quarter left of high school. This is a really important thing that you need to figure out, because that time management piece is probably the make or break skill for a college student. If they can figure out how to manage their time effectively, they'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't, I always tell students, I said, college is high school turned upside down. All of a sudden, instead of being in school 8 hours a day, you're in school 3 hours a day. The expectation of your teachers in high school is they're going to teach you the material, and then your homework is to reinforce what they taught you. In college, it's you learn the material, and the faculty reinforces what you should have already learned or answer your questions about anything you're unsure about. So it's a whole different experience. And being able to self-manage and manage their time is a critical skill. And I always get a little grin from the parents when I start talking about it. I get a little head shake from mom or dad. And
well, it's so important, you know, showing up is half the battle. And yes, the material is hard, but it's time on task often. And there truly are times you have to change your major and the like, but most everyone who we admit here, I like to say they're admitted because we believe they can be successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that is something we always make the point where we don't weed students out. We want to see everybody be successful and get their college degree. But let's talk about international students. A lot of universities, us included, have a good international enrollment. Some rely on them more than others. What have been the factors? I mean, we all know in the last several years, the geopolitical situation, the pandemic, What are we seeing this year in terms of international student interest and enrollment?
Well, the international interest is up. Our applications are up. I think there's a little bit of concern about how quickly the world will open up, how quickly the consulate offices will open up so students can get their visas, get all their paperwork done, their interviews, so they can get here in the fall. Lot of interest, not only from some of the kind of major players, but we're seeing an increased interest in students coming from some of the smaller countries where that we've not seen in the past. Some of those smaller countries have navigated the pandemic very well. And so I think those students are very hopeful. Penn State is, you know, we're fortunate that we have the ability to react to situations that arise globally with our world campus, which gives students an opportunity to study remotely until they're able to, you know, make that appointment with the consulate office, you know, make travel arrangements, all of those kind of things.
Yeah, the creativity and the flexibility this last year has surprised, I think, all of us in our ability to help students. For example, if they were stuck in a foreign country, we were able to offer courses to them remotely. We had to work through accreditation issues and the like. But given our strong world campus presence, our ability to move online, we were able to help them continue their progress towards graduation.
And not only that, we actually offered some courses in country, partnering up with other universities, regular Penn State courses, meeting all of the Penn State learning outcomes. And so students were able to have not only that virtual component of their Penn State education, but were able to take real in-person Penn State classes in country.
Yeah, I think that is a phenomenal story. And we'll see what this fall brings. You know, if I go back to pre-pandemic, though, you talk about going to countries that maybe people don't think about where our students come from. You've traveled extensively around this world recruiting students, and you've had success in South America and other places as of late. Any stories or anecdotes or particular places that hold a special place in your heart?
Yeah, there are a couple, certainly. And it has to do with the students that I've met from those countries. Very often when I'm working with an international student, I make very close relationships with them. There's a couple students that call me their American mom. I'll have them over to our home for Thanksgiving because, you know, they're certainly not going home for that fall break for a week. And it's a part of my experience that I value so much. When I first started traveling internationally, what I found was the students, no matter where they are more alike than they are different. No matter whether I'm in Colombia, in South America, or I'm in Abu Dhabi, I'm still seeing the same ripped jeans and the earbuds in their ears, and they're really not any different, no matter where we go. And they have, I think, the same hopes and dreams as the students from Harbor Creek High School right down the street from me.
Yeah, it's universal. People want to do well. They want to improve their position in life, like you said so eloquently, their hopes and dreams. Well, I would be remiss not to say that you've been here 34 years, and you are retiring next week, and that's a great deal of experience that we are truly going to miss. And I'll give you the last word. You know, is there anything that in particular that you want to add for our listening audience as we close up here today?
Well, you know, I'm kind of thinking back when I had my interview actually in the room right across the hall, 34 and a half some years ago. The provost chancellor then said, can I make a commitment to stay 3 to 5 years? And in my head, I thought, I can do 3 years. I moved around a lot as a child, as a young adult. So 3 years was probably about my max, I was thinking. And you say life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. The people here are why I've stayed. The faculty, the students, the staff I've gotten to work with, it just makes all the difference. Barron quickly became home for me. I developed roots in Erie. It's a place where I expect that we'll spend the rest of our lives. It's a great place. I have no regrets.
Well, I don't know how to add to that other than to say it has been a true pleasure to work with you all these years. And once you're a member of the Barron family, you always are. And I look forward to seeing you and your husband, John. We all see each other walking around campus here, getting our daily exercise. Thank you for all of your contributions.
Thank you, Ralph.
Well, you have been listening to Barron Talks. My guest today is Dr. Mary Ellen Madigan, our Senior Director of Enrollment Management.